It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change.
We need to see a change. America, America, come back to the place where you were in your beginning days. We need to stand on the firm foundations that our fathers laid. We need to see a change. We're lost inside the dark. Light up. Love of God, redeem us. Holy Ghost, lead us today.
In 1966, the Holy Spirit spoke to Dale Gentry and said these words: "Give me the first hour of your day, and I'll change your life."
My great awakening. What happened to the power of God? Like on Azusa Street, a great awakening. God's glory on display, a great awakening. We're lost inside the dark. Light our way. Help us to know who you are today. Then nothing stands between us. Love of God, redeem us. Holy Ghost, lead us.
He responded. And now, over 40 years later, thousands across this nation and around the world pray daily with Dale.
It's coming now, it's coming now. Revival's coming now. It's coming now, it's coming now. Revival's coming now. Yes, it is, yes, it is. And it's coming now. It's coming now, revival's coming now, yeah. Let nothing stand between us. Love of God, redeem us. Holy Ghost, lead us. We need to see a change.
Now, here's your Hour of Power prayer leader, Dale Gentry.
Well, thank you very much, Tom, and good Monday morning, everybody. Good to have you listening in here on BPN Radio. Whether it's morning or evening or during the middle of the night. It's good to have you listening here as we pray for revival in America and other spiritual awakening, praying for change. We do believe in change, and we believe in the midst of all this chaos here in America that we're going to have a radical change accompanied by radical revival, the Holy Ghost doing radical things through radical people, seeing changes happening in this nation through prayer, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and people coming out of obscurity to preach the gospel. It's going to be quite a sight, quite a scene in cities all across America. Today we're going to have a short interview with a man by the name of David Warren, who's going to interview Oral Roberts. And of course we know that Oral Roberts has gone to heaven, but we're going to honor him today. And we're going to pray for the sick. And Oral Roberts, of course, had major healing campaigns as he prayed for the sick. So if you are sick and afflicted and you need a miracle, need healing, we're going to be praying for the sick today because we believe in the power of prayer. So hang on, stay tuned. Father, we just come boldly into your presence today by the blood of Jesus, declaring, God, you are our Father. We are your sons and daughters, and we pray right now in Jesus' name that you will bless this Monday broadcast as we pray for the sick, and those that need a miracle in Jesus' name. We do believe that all things are possible. Nothing is impossible. And so we're trusting God for some people to get healed today by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And so if you need a miracle today, just stay tuned. Get your faith out there. Invite somebody else that needs healing, needs a miracle, because I believe that we serve a healing Jesus. And, you know, when I was a boy, I saw incredible miracles happen, and I believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I don't believe that miracles were just for the 40s and 50s and 60s. I believe that miracles are for today. And so we're going to pray for the sick in a few moments, and we're going to play the interview by Oral Roberts. And he's going to talk about healing, and then we're going to pray for the sick. First of all, before we do, before we play the interview with Oral Roberts, one of the great pioneers of Pentecostalism and the healing movement in this nation, we're just going to play a healing song. And here is Brian and Kristen Ming, and they're just going to sing about healing, and I want you just to get your faith out there. They're going to sing Healing Waters, and of course that was Oral Roberts' theme song during his healing campaigns, where the healing waters flow. So here is Brian and Kristen, and then we're going to have the interview with Oral Roberts, and then we're going to be back to pray with people, and just believe in God for your miracle today. I believe that healing waters are going to flow here today on BPN Radio. And this Monday, as we pray for the sick. And today we're honoring one of the pioneers of the healing ministry in America, 20th century man by the name of Oral Roberts. And we're going to have a short interview with Oral, his daughter Roberta, and a man by the name of David Warren is going to be conducting the interview that was conducted, of course, several years ago. And then we're gonna pray for the sick. And I believe that whatever God has done in the past, He will do again, only bigger and better. I do believe that history repeats itself. And I believe that we're on the verge in America of having miracles, signs, wonders, healings in abundance. And I'm thankful for medical science. I honor medical science. I don't revere medical science. I have two spiritual sons that are medical doctors. But I revere the healing power of the Holy Ghost. So today we want to give honor to Oral Roberts, who I went and listened to as a boy as he would conduct his tent meetings. And he had a tremendous impact upon my life. My pastor, Bob Nichols, was telling me recently that he was called to preach in an Oral Roberts meeting in Fort Worth, Texas. And Oral Roberts was born in Oklahoma, the fifth and youngest child of the Reverend Ellis Melvin Roberts. And Larry King interviewed him one time, and Roberts told him that he was a card-carrying member of the Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma. Roberts began life in poverty and nearly died of tuberculosis at age 17. And after finishing high school, Roberts studied for 2 years, each at Oklahoma Baptist University, Phillips University, and never did receive his college degree. According to a Time magazine profile of 1972, Roberts originally made a name for himself with a large mobile tent that set 3,000 on metal folding chairs, where he shouted at petitioners who did not respond to his healing. 1947 came as a turning point. Up until that time, Roberts had struggled as a part-time preacher in Oklahoma. But at the age of 29, Roberts claims he picked up his Bible. It fell open at the third epistle of John, where verse 2 read, "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Roberts immediately decided that it was all right to be rich. The next day, he said he bought a Buick. God appeared, he said, telling him to heal the sick. Roberts resigned his church in Enid, Oklahoma, where, by the way, I held a meeting several years ago in that church. And he resigned the church in Enid. He conducted evangelistic and faith-healing crusades across the United States, around the world, including the reports of the dead being raised. Thousands of sick people would wait in line to stand before Oral Roberts so he could pray for them. He appeared as a guest speaker for hundreds of national and international meetings and conventions. Through the years, he conducted more than 300 crusades on 6 continents and personally laid hands in prayer on more than 2 million people. He also ran direct mail campaigns of Seed Faith, which appealed to poor Americans, often from ethnic minorities. At its peak in the early 1980s, Roberts was the leader of a $120 million a year organization, employing 2,300 people. This spanned not only a university, but also a medical school and hospital as well, on 50 acres, as he founded Oral Roberts University in 1963. And another part of the Oral Roberts Evangelistic Association, the Abundant Life Prayer Group, was founded in 1958, and both of those continue today. So here's an interview with Oral Roberts, and to help build your faith, and then we're going to pray for the sick.
Welcome back. My name is David Warren.
I'm Roberta Cox.
We are your co-host team today, and I'm going to step aside and become co-host now because, Roberta,
yes,
the floor is yours. Tell us about this very important guest that you have brought to the program today. Now, if I'm correct, I believe you've known this man most of your life.
I actually would say I have known him all of my life because he is my father, Oral Roberts. Dad, thank you for being here today.
Well, it's a privilege to be here with you young people.
Well, it's awesome to have you here. David Warren, we had an incredible day yesterday. The Oklahoma State Legislature, both houses, the Senate and the House, both I should say, not houses, but both parts of the legislature, honored Dad, and I was privileged to be there when it happened. So, Dad, my first question to you is, when you were growing up in rural Oklahoma, did you ever believe that the state legislature of the place where you grew up would ever honor you like they did yesterday?
It never occurred to me, Roberta. It never entered my mind.
What was it like growing up in rural Oklahoma? Your dad was a preacher.
Yes. I grew up in Ada, Oklahoma, and at 15, I left home. My parents were discouraging me in attending Ada High School. I had just graduated from junior high, and my basketball coach, wanted me to go with him to Atoka, Oklahoma, where he had a new position. And we were downtown, and he just asked me if I wanted to go, and I said yes. And he said, "Come over here in the steering wheel and drive." And I'd never driven a car.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't tell him, but I chugged along and finally got the use of the car. And I drove 50 miles down there and stayed almost a year.
Oh, my goodness. Well, now, Dad, when you were being raised, your dad was a preacher, but the things of God didn't really interest you until a certain point in your life. What changed everything?
Well, you're absolutely right. When I grew up, there was no impact made upon my soul that I knew about. I heard my daddy preach. I enjoyed his preaching, but it went right over my head. And I was a worker. I went to work when I was 8 years old, and I worked at different little jobs and making a little money. And at 15, it all came to a head, and I walked away from my mother and father to go with my coach.
What happened that changed your thinking about God, where you became interested in the things of God? What was it in your life that caused that change?
I was playing a basketball game in a district tournament, and if we won that game, we were going to the state. And I was making a driving layup when that's all I remember. I fell on the floor unconscious, and my coach picked me up, took me out to his car. And when I came to, he said, "Oral, I'm taking you home." And he took me to Ada and knocked on the door and asked if this was Oral Roberts' dad. And Papa said, "Yes, I'm his dad. Is there something wrong?" And he said, "Yes, there's something wrong. I've got your boy out here in the car. Come and get him." And Papa went with the coach out to the car, and I was sort of rousing up. And they helped me out of the car, took me in the house, and laid me down on the bed. And he called our doctors. And all three of them came out and diagnosed me with tuberculosis in both lungs. And that's when God got my attention.
What did he do to get your attention?
I don't know what he did. I was lying there, day after day, suffering, hurting, and getting the sad news I had the TB. I knew the doctors didn't have any medicine for me that would work. That was several years before the antibiotic drugs came on the scene.
At that time, tuberculosis was a killer.
Yes, it was a killer, and it was going to take me out. And my father called the saints at Lindsay, Oklahoma, where he had been a pastor, to come down and pray for me. And they all came in their cars, and they were a joyous bunch of people. They saw me. They came over to bed. They all laid their hands on me, and they prayed. And for some reason, I was welcoming their prayers.
Because you knew you, without God, you weren't going to get any help
yes,
at all.
Yes, I wasn't going to get any help at all.
On today's Roadshow, it is our honor to have Brother Oral Roberts as our very special guest. I'm just kind of sitting back and enjoying the program with the rest of you listeners, because my co-host today, really the main host now, Roberta Potts, was Roberta Roberts before she was a Potts, and this is an honor as well for you to get to interview your dad. It's been a lot of years since he's been on the Roadshow. So here is young Oral with tuberculosis. He's just been prayed for by the saints, as we call them. What transpired after that?
Well, my dad moved to Stratford, Oklahoma, 17 miles to the west, and pastored a small church and put me to bed there. And I lay there 5 months with TB, coughing my lungs out, hemorrhaging, and I had a terrible time. That's the best way to describe it. I gave up hope on myself when the doctors came in and told him it'd be 2 weeks that I'd be dead. And that was sorrowful news to me. I was 17 by now. And I heard a noise. A car drove up. My oldest brother, Elmer, didn't have a car, but he borrowed one. He had 35 cents in his pocket and went and bought gas and came to Stratford to get me, because there was a big tent in Ada, and there's a man of God, George Muncy, who prayed for the sick. And as far as I knew, there's the only revival in Pontotoc County, Oklahoma, that had a healing revival. And I went, and my brother told me to get up and get dressed, and I said, I can't get up, Elmer. And he said, well, I'll dress you. And he dressed me, and he picked me up, carried me to the car, laid me in the back seat of the car, and while we were going, he was talking to my parents in the front seat with him, telling him about the miracles he had seen, and he sure I was going to be healed. When their voices faded, and in their place, I heard another voice. Son, I'm going to heal you. You're to take my healing power to your generation. Someday you're to build me a university based on my authority and the Holy Spirit. Well, I lay there a few moments, and I said, say it again, Lord. Maybe I misunderstood. He said it again. The third time I asked him to say it, he said the very same words. And I knew that I'd be healed that night.
So would you say it was God healing you and God speaking to you that changed your thinking about the things of God? Is that, would you say, in a nutshell, what changed your the way you saw God?
It's interesting you'd ask that question, because the day before, my parents came in my bedroom that night with a nurse. And Papa said, son, I'm going to pray for you tonight until you give your heart to Jesus. I didn't pay attention to him.
You weren't interested?
No. And Papa and the nurse and my mother began to pray. Pretty soon, Mom and the nurse sat up in their chairs, and Papa, at the end of my bed, raised up on his knees and told God he wouldn't stop praying until I gave my heart to Jesus. And I looked into his face, and his face faded, and I saw the face of Jesus. The moment I saw Jesus' face, the Spirit of the Lord came to my heart, And I began to pray, ask him to save my soul. And in a few minutes of prayer, he had saved me. And that was the background of Elmer coming after me, though he didn't know I had been saved. And now he's lying in the back seat of the car, hearing God's voice.
Brother Roberts, when God told you to take his healing power, really, to the world, what were some of the steps that took place after that? What kind of preparation did you do from going from this rebellious young boy who had a conversation with God to going out and doing what he told you to do?
When I was healed that night completely, the Lord spoke in my heart that I was to preach the gospel. And I was going on 18 years of age, and I agreed with him. And I didn't go back to school at that time. I went later and earned my bachelor's, master's, and doctor's degrees. But at that time, I wasn't interested in anything but preaching. And I began to go with my dad every other night. He'd preach one night, I'd preach the next. And from that, I left him and began preaching on my own. And for 12 years, I preached just like other preachers. I didn't have a healing ministry. Only two or three people received healings of substance during those 12 years. It was the end of those 12 years that I reached the climax of my career. And I told God that I wanted his healing power for my whole life. And that's when the change came.
So what happened? I know the answer to this because I'm your daughter, but tell our listeners what happened at that point where you began healing services, where you were praying for people to get healed. What transpired for that to happen?
Well, I first of all had it out with God. God didn't seem to be interested in me at first. And I think he was testing me. And I went to the church where I was pastoring in Enid, Oklahoma, and into a little office. And I got out on the floor. I laid down on the floor. I told him I was going to pray until he answered me. And I don't know how long I was there because I went out. And maybe two or three hours later, his voice came very clear, stand up on your feet. I did that. Go get in your car. I did that. Drive one block left and turn right. I did that. And he said, from this hour, you'll heal the sick and cast out devils. And the Spirit of the Lord changed my whole nature. I was an ordinary preacher, preaching the same thing other preachers preached that didn't pray for the sick. And suddenly, I was alive with the healing power of God. I went down to town to Enid and rented a 3,000-seat building. And I asked God to bring 1,000 people. And when the offering was taken, there'd be no pulling. And third, there'd be somebody healed that they would know and I would know that it was a healing. And while I was preaching, I felt the Spirit of the Lord so strongly, I leaped off the stage into the crowd, and they rose up like a covey of quail. And I was passing on the left a German woman who didn't speak good English, but she knew what she's getting. And when I touched her, it was like an electric fire, and she screamed at the top of her voice, said, "I'm healed, I'm healed," and she held up her arm that had been crippled for 38 long years. And when that happened, the crowd came toward me. 7 men whose wives were members of my church who were not saved came over and asked me to lead them to Christ. And I prayed for the sick until 6 p.m. that Sunday afternoon. When I walked out, I didn't have a dry thread on my body, but I had the glory of God in my soul.
And you knew.
I knew that I knew that I knew.
One of the greatest memories, I believe, that people have when they think back over your ministry, Brother Roberts, is those great tent crusades. And Roberta, maybe you can help me with some of the years here.
Let's see. You started the tent crusades maybe in 47?
In 1947.
Well, you had mentioned just now about renting a building, but what was it that inspired you to not rent buildings to preach and pray for the sick, but to take the big tent around America and around the world?
Well, the calls upon my life were very great. And I went to churches to have a healing service or a healing week. And some of the pastors were not interested, although they asked me to come. And what broke the thing open was in Kansas City, the pastor of that church, when I walked into the building, asked me a question: are your miracles real? And I thought he was joking, but he wasn't. And I had a hard week praying for the sick in a church where the pastor was asking that kind of question. And so I decided that I'd be independent. I would order a 3,000-seat tent with a Hammond organ and a big piano and a stage and all the stuff that went with the tent. And I received a call from Durham, North Carolina, and I took the tent out there, and we staked it and raised it. And the first night, I had 700 people in the audience, but I prayed for the sick. In two or three nights, the tent was full. I stayed 3.5 weeks, and the last crowd was 9,000. And I took the tent then to Granite City, Illinois, and from there to Minnesota, to St. Paul and Minneapolis, and I held crusades. And I went from there to Ada, Oklahoma, where I'd been healed, and stretched the tent, and to Dallas, and thereafter, all I had to do was preach and pray and build new tents until I bought one, seated 10,000 people with 10,000 chairs, and I had 4 big stainless steel trailers, and I was ready to go. I controlled my own environment.
Somewhere in there, Dad, and I'm not sure of the timing, but there was something that happened that put you on the front page of every newspaper in America.
Yes, at Enid, at Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I had my first revival with Steve Pringle. He had a 1,000-seat tent, and when I got in town, he learned I was in town. I was moving to Tulsa, and he came to see me. He said, "Oral, can you spare me 2 nights?" He had 200 people in a 1,000-seat tent. And he said, "Can you spare me 2 nights?"
Empty seats never get saved, do they?
Pardon me?
Empty seats never get saved.
And I preached and prayed for the sick that night, and a few people got healed. The crowd was double the next night, and Steve asked me to stay through Sunday. So I stayed through Sunday, and the tent was so overflowed that you had to bring your own chair and seat us outside. And I was there 9 weeks praying for the sick and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one night, there was a loud sound. A gun went off. A man stood across the street, aimed at my head, and missed me by inches. And the next morning, the newspapers had a headline: Oral Roberts Evangelist Shot At. It went throughout America because it was a different scene. And the pastors began to call all over America. And that shot put me in the front lines of the ministry.
It made me think of the shot that was heard around the world.
Yes, I guess it was.
You know, I was just thinking while you were talking. You know, you were born in a relatively small town. I mean, Enid is not a big city.
That's right.
But you're a big thinker. You're a big thinker. You've never done anything small.
That's right.
To what do you attribute that?
I really don't know, because my dad was not a big thinker. He was a pastor, an evangelist, and he was content to go to smallest churches. And my mother was different. She had a dream about her son. When I was born, she had made a vow that she had given me to God. And she took me to a church and had three pastors to lay their hands upon me as a baby and dedicate me to the Lord. And I guess I took after her. And I was on my own till I was 15, when I was brought home with TB. And the second year, I was healed and raised up and called into the healing ministry. And I saw the world of lost and suffering humanity. I saw everybody was sick in some way, and they're still sick today. We have the finest medical service in the world, but people are as sick as they were when I started out, and they brought them, they brought invalids, and laid them before me, and I had no easy cases. I prayed for cripples, I prayed for invalids, I prayed for people who could walk, and some of them got healed, some of them did not, but it didn't bother. The people wanted healing, and so I just went with God, called upon Him, I'd hear His voice, and He'd tell me what to do next, and I never did anything without hearing God's voice first.
One of the ways, Brother Roberts, that you were a big thinker was with media, specifically television. What inspired you to start filming your meetings?
Rex Humbard, the evangelist, was a dear friend of mine, and he called upon me to take the big tent into TV. I wasn't interested at first. I went several months thinking about it, but he would come, and first of all, he brought his son to Mobile, Alabama, to my crusade, who had TB. And I prayed for Steve, and God healed him, and it just stirred up Rex to tell me I need to be on TV. I need to be on TV. And so I finally relented and went to New York and hired an agent to help me, and I got on 75 stations, not the cable stations, but the big stations. And a year later, I was on 170-some-odd stations. And when I did that, I had to get bigger tents.
Well, you brought healing into people's living rooms, and people had not seen that on a television until you did that.
Well, people had never seen a healing in their life, and they sat there in their living room and saw me pray for the sick. And they saw those who did not get healed. They saw those who got healed. And it stirred a rumpus in this country. The stations didn't want to take me. They required me to have a judge to come and sit on the stage right by me when I was praying for the sick, to see that everything was all right. And he had to sign a paper that he watched, and I did nothing out of the way, that everything was on the up and up. And through that, they relented and sold me time. And I was on TV for 40 years.
Well, once Oral Roberts became a household word, a household name, you know, Brother Roberts, you got good press, but you've had some bad press in your life, and I think it would be an inspiration to our listeners, you know, who have bad things happening to them as well. How did you overcome bad times, newspaper headlines, curveballs? How have you lasted and been such a stalwart figure
I never remember a time when the press attacked me that it was good. Finally, I had to just bow my head, make up my mind. I was going to do it regardless. And I did it. And I had a bad press in virtually every major city I went to, but it didn't hurt the crowds. The big 10,000-seat tent was filled all over America and all over other nations. And I just stood it. I just put up with it because when it got real bad, I had a feeling it would never change. And I wanted to quit. And the Lord gave me a word. Where would you go? To whom would you go? I saved you. I healed you. I called you. And he brought me to my senses. And I said, okay, I'll stay.
One thing that I appreciate about Mike.
Okay, I trust that you have enjoyed the interview with Dr. Oral Roberts, healing evangelist, founder of Oral Roberts University, and that I went to his meetings as a boy. I was able to preach later on in the very first church that he pastored. And so even though I know it, never personally met him, I was able to minister in the church where his secretary, his daughter, attended. And so it just made an impact on my life. So you're listening to BPN Radio today on this Monday. And I just wanted to play that interview that was conducted by David Warren of Oasis Radio Network in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Oral Roberts' daughter, Roberta Potts. And I want to pray for the sick today, that just like Oral Roberts prayed for the sick, I believe that Jesus is a healing Jesus. And for those of you that are sick today, I believe that God desires to heal you. And some of you may say, well, what if I don't get healed? And my response is, but what if you do? And so today I'm going to read some scripture, and then I'm going to pray for the sick. The Bible says in Psalms 103, verses 3 and 4, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Psalms 107 says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Psalms 112 says he does not fear bad news nor live in dread of what might happen, for he has settled in his mind that Jehovah will take care of him. That is why he is not afraid but can calmly face his foes. So there are those of you listening today that you have some foes, and it may be cancer, it may be back problems, it may be some sort of disfiguration, whatever the problem may be, long-term, short-term. It may be that the doctor has given you up to die. It makes no difference what your circumstances are. I declare in Jesus' name that the Lord is your healer. So Jesus answered, this is Mark 11, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And so, Father, today we just believe for healing for people that are listening today. And some people may say, but what if I don't get healed? And my response to that is, but what if you do? And so I pray right now for your healing. I pray for your miracle. I command you in the name of Jesus to be healed. The healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ flow through your physical body now, that you arise off of your sick bed and receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Kibronde ebrosho kutori isikabato remende etarabashikarabakatai. I command every cancer cell in your body to leave now. I rebuke every cancer cell in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the pain cycle in your body now. I speak healing over you in Jesus' name. I command all fever in your body to be broken, all infection to leave your body in Jesus' name. I rebuke the spirit of fear that is upon you, the fear of dying, the fear of that bad report that you've received that you're not going to get well. You're going to get worse and worse. I command those brain tumors to dry up in Jesus' name and to leave your body. In the name of Jesus, I speak over those of you that are crippled. I command you to walk. And those of you that cannot talk, I command you to talk. In the name of Jesus, those of you that cannot hear, I speak healing over your ears. I command you to hear in Jesus' name the sound of the birds singing and the whippoorwill in the trees and the rustling of the leaves in Jesus' name. Those of you that are so bound by anxiety and fear and panic attacks that you cannot leave your home, I break that cycle of fear. I bind all spirits of anxiety and dread in the name of Jesus. I command those spirits to be broken and to leave you. And I command you to go out into the site outside of your home and take a walk. And let the stars sing a few songs to you as you walk up and down the streets, being confined to your home. Those of you who've been confined to your bed for a number of weeks or months or maybe even years, I command you to take up your bed and walk. Make up your bed. Put the pillowcases on. Put fresh pillowcases on your pillows and fresh sheets on your bed. And put the bedspread over the bed. And don't go back to bed today because you've been healed in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we know today that you're a healing Jesus, that you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from all sickness and infirmities. And I'm not just talking about something I've heard about. When I was 10 years old and my mother needed major surgery, my dad had listened to a preacher in Dallas, Texas. We lived in Comanche, Oklahoma, by the name of J.C. Hibbert. And my dad drove my mother 200 miles to Dallas, Texas on Old 81 Highway. When my dad and I got to the Gospel Lighthouse Church in Dallas, we went in search of Pastor J.C. Hibbert, found him in a prayer meeting in the back of the church. There must have been maybe 200 people back there praying. They prayed at 9 o'clock every morning. My dad asked Brother Hibbert if he would come out and pray for my mom. She was so weak she couldn't walk into the church. So he comes out to the car. As a little 10-year-old boy, I was witnessing this with my eyes. He stuck his hand in the window. It was summertime. And he said, "In the name of Jesus, Mrs. Gentry, I command you to be healed in the name of Jesus." He turned around, went back into the church. And my mom and dad and I drove the 200 miles back to Comanche. The next morning, my mom went to the doctor for another examination before she had major surgery. And the doctor, after he examined my mother, said, "Mrs. Gentry, I don't know what has happened to you, but you don't need surgery. You are okay." And so, as a boy, I experienced many healings that were taking place. My 15-year-old sister, I saw her healed after hot grease had been accidentally poured on her hand. And the hand was all red and swelling. And instead of taking my sister to the emergency room, my dad laid hands on my sister and prayed, interceded for several hours. And I saw I saw the scar leave my sister's hand. And today she's 81 years old, still alive. And the scar is no longer there because my sister was healed because of the prayer of faith. The Bible says the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. So I believe in healing. My wife was healed of cancer in 2004 and is still cancer-free today. And the pathologist searched for 3 hours to try to find where the malignancy was after she had a malignant tumor. And she wrote a book entitled Overwhelming Victory that you can get by going to letsprayamerica.com. And you can just click on the resources and read Jean's book. And there's a lot of healing scriptures there today. I pray this week we're having healing services here on BPN Radio. And I believe that the same anointing that was on Oral Roberts, and we played his interview today, the same anointing that was upon him to heal the sick is now being imparted to many others as we see healing revivals, even tent ministry being restored. I know of two men right now that have tents, and they are praying for the sick. I declare that it's happening again in tents and buildings and open fields. There's going to be people start praying for the sick, and miracles are going to begin to happen because what God has done before, he is going to do again. And I declare in Jesus' name that there's a release of healing ministry that's going to begin to flow in the streets of our cities in America. Signs, wonders, and miracles that will spill over into the churches in this nation. I am prophesying and declaring there is another spiritual awakening coming to America, another wave of revival. And I'm believing that revival is going to take place in 1,000 cities. In Jesus' name. And I was reading the other day from Psalms 119, where on 7 different occasions, David said, revive us, revive us, revive us. So what is reviving? Reviving of the miracle ministry that swept through America in the 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s. And for several decades, people were being healed by the power of God. And so many times now we just rely upon medical science. But there are times when medical science cannot heal. They cannot do the work. And so today we are relying on the name of Jesus. So I declare in Jesus' name that you are healed. I pray for you now in the name of Jesus to be healed. Whatever that infirmity is in your body, we declare it is broken. That spirit of infirmity is broken. I declare in Jesus' name on this Monday that you are healed, that you need to respond to the power of the Holy Ghost, the healing power that is flowing through your body at this very moment. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Just receive it now. Well, I trust that you have been blessed by the broadcast today. And here on BPN Radio, as we pray for revival in America and other spiritual awakening, I don't believe there's anything that's going to awaken this nation greater than people being healed, lives being changed, demons being cast out, people being able to walk that couldn't walk, talk that couldn't talk, and people that were left to die being suddenly raised up, and the media taking note of what is happening and begin to report those happenings all across the nation. Revival's coming, and I believe God. Thank you for being a part of BPN Radio today. Dale Gentry here at this hour or any hour, at this time or any time. I'll be back tomorrow, and we'll have another interview concerning someone who had great faith, because I believe this is a week of divine healing, health, wholeness, and wellness here on BPN. Thank you for being a part of the broadcast, and as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.